message in our summer series on the Beatitudes. Now, I've titled this series simply Congratulations. This modern term really captures the meaning of the word blessed that Jesus used here. I want to start by, again, reading all of the Beatitudes, and then we're going to come back and focus today on the third one. So if you want to take your Bibles or your devices, it'll also be on the screen, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Our focus today will be on verse 5, but I want to read verses 1 through 10. Again, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the word meek is translated gentle and humble in other versions of the Bible. You know, the Beatitudes and indeed the Sermon on the Mount contained in chapters 5 through 7 here is not a set of rules and regulations, but rather it's a picture of what life will be when the Holy Spirit has control in us. You know, the meaning of the Beatitudes will elude us until we realize that Jesus is speaking here about basic attitudes and values of the kingdom that will lead us to Christ's likeness and produce spiritual fruit in our lives. Now, most Bible scholars believe that Jesus is alluding to a verse in Psalm chapter 37, verse 11, that David penned. And that's the basis of what he shares here, where it says, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." And of course, Jesus modeled perfectly what it means to be meek or humble or gentle. In one of the great invitations of the Bible in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble." Some translations say meek and lowly. It's the same meaning here. Matter of fact, the same Greek word is used here that's used in our text. "For I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if we're to apply this third beatitude to our lives, we need to understand the nature of meekness, how it's manifested in our lives, and the rewards it brings. Meekness is really misunderstood in our society today. It's often seen as weakness or lack of courage. But what is that really what Jesus meant here when he speaks of meekness? Is that what God wants us to understand about meekness? That somehow it's just about being weak and it's just about lacking courage? It's just about not speaking up? Or is there a more profound meaning to this virtue? A meaning that can really transform our lives and relationships with each other and with God. Now, before we delve deeper into this third beatitude, I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to give you praise and worship and thanksgiving. Lord, we have sung together, we have lifted our voices, we have lifted our hands, we have bowed, we have prayed, we have observed and celebrated what you did upon Calvary's cross for us. we have remembered you, as your word tells us to do when we partake of the elements of Holy Communion. Now I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds today to the truth of your word. Help us to understand what it means to be meek and gentle. Holy Spirit, we invite you today to be our teacher and our guide. In Jesus' name, amen. As I shared when I began this series on the Beatitudes, I'm going to follow sort of the same outline in each one of the messages. First of all, we're going to look today at what being meek is not, and then what it is, and then at the reward. And that's what we will be doing with the other Beatitudes as well. So let's look first at what meekness is not. You know, meekness is easier described by what it is not other than what it is. There are many misconceptions surrounding meekness. The very term meekness carries a negative connotation. It's associated with being timid, being weak, or lacking assertiveness. And this is a far cry from the biblical definition of this word. I want to highlight just a couple of misconceptions about meekness. Misconception number one is meekness is a sign of weakness. We tend to connect that to being meek. The Bible presents it rather as a sign of strength. The world sees the meek as those who are easily pushed around. The Bible presents the meek as those who are really grounded in their faith. The world equates meekness with a lack of confidence. The Bible, however, presents the meek as those who have confidence in God. Well, the second misconception is this, that meekness means being passive. Meekness means sort of being a pushover. But meekness does not mean that we remain silent. In the face of injustice and wrongdoing, we're to speak up. It does not mean that we passively accept every single thing that comes our way without any kind of resistance. On the contrary, meekness involves standing up for what is right, speaking out against what is wrong, actively pursuing, bringing about change, but doing that in accordance with God's will. Listen. Meekness involves exercising self-control, showing restraint, and maintaining a gentle spirit in the midst of conflict and controversy. Well, misconception number three about meekness is that meekness is a natural trait that you're born with. Well, either you have it or you don't have it. But friends, meekness is not a personality trait, but it's rather a spiritual quality that can be developed and it can be cultivated through a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a fruit of the Spirit that results from the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Misconception number four, meekness is irrelevant in our world today. Who can you look at in the news? Who can you look at in politics and you can say, boy, there's a meek person. There's a person that's really manifesting meekness in their lives. You know, in a world where pride, arrogance, self-assertion, demeaning others is celebrated, sad to say, even by professing Christians, the virtue of meekness serves as a powerful countercultural witness. Because it's so different than what we see in the world. Listen, if the way of Jesus, and when I refer to the way of Jesus, I'm referring to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 contains Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You may recall from the opening message, this is probably a summary of what was given over a number of days. It may have been 3 or 4 days or even longer that Jesus spoke, but what we see here is the longer summary in Matthew's gospel, a shorter summary in the gospel of Luke. So when I talk about the way of Jesus, I'm talking about what we read about in the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically here in the Beatitudes. But if the way of Jesus doesn't work everywhere, it doesn't work anywhere. If it doesn't work everywhere in all spheres of life, It does not work anywhere. A couple of weeks ago, I joined about a dozen other pastors to have lunch with a senator. He was not the senator from our district. And I was a little bit reluctant to go because I don't like to take political sides. I don't feel like God's called me to lead some kind of a political cause. He's called me to preach the word and to pastor his people. But I went, and I was super impressed. Super impressed. One of the things that impressed me was this senator's gentleness and humility. Pastor Alex and Pastor Oscar were with me. We certainly talked about this on the way back afterwards. He doesn't just claim Christ for political expediency. He actually lives it. He actually demonstrates it in his life. In our meeting, he made it clear that while he disagrees with the governor on a number of issues, and he spelled out what some of those issues were, he also made it clear that a long time ago, God laid it upon his heart to pray for the governor every single day. I think he mentioned that he had prayed for the governor on his way to our meeting that day. And one of the things he's praying is, I'll have a one-on-one time to be able to share Jesus with our governor. He said, that's the cry of my heart. You know, it's possible. And a matter of fact, it's expected from God's word that we are people of meekness and that it's not weakness. It's expected that we can disagree and still be Christ-like. It's expected that we can take issue with people without name-calling. All of that's not necessary. That's not what we see in the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we see, this is what my kingdom looks like. This is what my followers look like. That's what we see here in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This verse challenges our misconceptions about meekness and invites us to embrace this virtue in our lives. It reminds us that meekness is not a sign of weakness, but rather it is a sign of strength. So we've seen what meekness is not. Now let's take a look at what meekness is. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," what did he mean? What does it look like to be a person of meekness? Now, the word translated meek was used by the Greeks to describe a horse that had been broken. Far from weakness, meekness means power under control. That's what meekness means. It means power under control. For a follower of Jesus Christ, it means that we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, not just on Sunday morning, but in the entirety of our lives. The devotional writer A.W. Tozier describes it this way. He says, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of inferiority. Rather, in his life, he may be as bold as a lion and as strong as a Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself." So I want to share with you five characteristics of what it means to be meek. The first, and these flow from meekness. These are sort of a profile of what meekness looks like. The first characteristic is that of humility. Now, just rewind to a couple Sundays back. I opened this series. I spoke a lot about humility. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. You can go back and you can listen or you can watch that message. I want to share a quote, though, by C.S. Lewis, who said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." Let me share that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Let me tell you that humility is the absolute key to the Beatitudes. If it's the key to being in God's kingdom. It is the key to revival. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It doesn't say, if my people study, if my people sing, if my people praise. No, if my people will humble themselves. We know that humility is the key to so much in the Christian life. Well, characteristic number two is gentleness. And again, many Bible translations use the word, translate gentleness instead of meekness. They basically mean very much the same thing. Again, gentleness is not about being weak or passive. It's about strength under control. One Bible commentator describes gentleness this way. It is the characteristic that makes a man bow low before God in order that he can stand high before other men. And it makes him bold because he knows that his life has been touched by God. Gentleness is responding to others with kindness and compassion, even when we have the power to do otherwise. Well, characteristic number three is one that's a difficult one for us, isn't it? And that is patience. It's patience. Be careful about praying for patience. If you pray for patience, you're probably going to be tested in that. But the third characteristic is patience. And meekness is best witnessed by our reaction to difficult people and adverse circumstances. And I would just imagine you probably have a difficult person in your life. They may even be a part of your family tree. Years ago, I had the opportunity to host someone that only the older generation will know this person. I was on a staff member at a church, and I was assigned to host him for the entire weekend. So I picked him up from the hotel. I transported him back. We had a lot of conversation. I had sort of some misconceptions about this man. And those misconceptions were really cleared up when I spent some time with him. And even when I spoke in the early service at the church, the early service was much smaller. The second service, the sanctuary and the balcony was filled. And his name's Rex Humbard. How many of you remember the name Rex Humbard? And one of the first television preachers out of Akron, I think Akron, Ohio, I believe is where he was, the Cathedral of Tomorrow. I remember as a little kid seeing Rex Humbard on television. And one of the things that impressed me when I picked him up, he wanted to know all about me, and he realized that we shared hillbilly roots. I mean, I was just a little bit above the Arkansas line. My wife's a little bit south of the, she was right there in Arkansas line, and of course, Pastor John there from Arkansas. So we began to discuss that, and I don't know how we got off on talking about family trees, and he said, Steve, I really got interested in my family tree and was doing a lot of research, and then he said, I began to find members hanging by nooses on my family tree, and I lost all interest. Well, maybe that's you. Maybe some of you have family members that are hanging from nooses on the family on the family tree, and that difficult person is in your own family. Maybe it is where you work, or maybe it's adverse circumstances that you are facing right now. But patience is that key, and it flows from this aspect of meekness. Now, meekness is manifested. It's manifested in two ways. First of all, it's manifested verbally. It's manifested in what we say and how we say it, what we don't say, and then non-verbally. That's really how we say it. Did you know our body language communicates more than our verbal language does? Most of the way people respond to us, react to us, it's not so much what we say, but it's how we say it. It's what our body language communicates. You know, and being patient does not mean that we are never angry. Being meek does not mean that you are never angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, Paul writes, in your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. James 1, 19 and 20, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. because man's anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Listen to the way that Aristotle, who lived almost 400 years before the time of Christ, a Greek philosopher, he defined meekness in this way. Listen to this. He said, a meek man is the one who is angry on the right occasion and at the right people and at the right moment and for the right length of time. That's what it means to be meek as far as this characteristic of patience being a part of that. Well, characteristic number four is this. A meek person has a willingness to submit to the will of God. See, at the heart of being meek is being surrendered to the Lord. This is seen in the life of Jesus when he prays in the garden, "Not my will, but your will be done." A truly meek man or woman recognizes that God's way is always higher than our ways. His plans are always better than our ways. The meek do not resist the will of God, but joyfully submit to whatever God's will may be. Characteristic number five about meekness is this. It's a readiness to forgive. A readiness to forgive. This is exemplified by Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The first Christian martyr, Stephen, while being stoned by an angry mob, prayed in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." You know, few of us are ever called to forgive at that level, but most of us struggle with unforgiveness from time to time, and sometimes it's with those closest to us that we really struggle with forgiveness. The meek realize that forgiving others is not an option. It's a requirement. They follow the standard that Paul puts out in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Well, before we look at the last half of verse 5, where it says, "For they will inherit the earth." We'll look at that in just a moment. You know, as I look at this earth, I'm not that excited about inheriting the earth. Think of all the problems. Think of all the wars. Think of all the conflict. Think of all the division. I'm just not that excited initially by seeing that, yeah, be meek, and that way you're going to inherit the earth. So we're going to hold off on that for just a moment. But I want us to look at a man just briefly in the Old Testament who was labeled, listen to this, a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Man, can you imagine that on a gravestone? Let me share that with you again. A very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Well, the description is of Moses. It's recorded in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. You say, well, Moses wrote Numbers. Yes, he did. Well, did Moses write that about himself? No, he didn't. You would certainly not be humble if you wrote, "I'm the most humble person in all the earth." Both the King James and ESV and other translations use the word meek. Now, you'll note in most translations this is in parenthesis because this was added later by an inspired scribe. So it was an inspired scribe describing Moses in this way. Throughout, but yet, as meek, as humble as Moses was, I want you to be encouraged that Moses was not perfect. Moses is not perfect. A matter of fact, throughout his life, Moses had anger management issues. Some years ago, I preached a message on Moses and his anger management issues. A matter of fact, his anger management issues, I don't think they took place every day or even every month or even every year, but when Moses got mad, Moses really got mad. He really got, matter of fact, he got so mad that it kept him out of the promised land. A matter of fact, had they had Celebrate Recovery back in Moses' day, he might have been able to enter the promised land because he really needed to face up to some of his anger issues. So I share that with you just to say that being meek, being gentle, being patient, all that's sort of wrapped up into not only this word, but really in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount does not mean being perfect. We may aim for that, but we're all on a journey together. We've not yet arrived, and we will not fully arrive until we arrive in heaven. But you need to understand, and Moses came to realize this, I forget where I read this, anger is a wind that blows out the lamp of the mind. Anger is a wind that blows out the lamp of the mind. Anger finally got the best of Moses. He wanted to go into the promised land, didn't he? But he wasn't able to. It's because of the issue of anger in his own life. Well, we've seen what being meek is not and what it is. Now let's look briefly at the reward of being meek. The reward of being meek. So before we look at inheriting the earth, here's two additional rewards that we see from meekness. The first is meekness brings peace. Meekness brings peace because it's all about surrendering to the Lord. It's all about surrendering to the will of God. It's about trusting Him to guide our steps and direct our paths. When we do this, we experience the peace Paul writes about in Philippians that's described as the peace that passes all understanding. This peace is not dependent upon circumstances. It's not shaken by the storms of life. It anchors us. It gives us stability in the midst of life's challenges. So meekness brings peace. But there's another one, and that is this. Meekness is a powerful witness. It's a powerful witness. A matter of fact, it's more powerful than your verbal presentation of the gospel. And I'm not in any way diminishing the importance of that. It's important that we be able to share with someone how to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But meekness is even more powerful than a smooth verbal presentation of the gospel, because meekness can be the very magnet that draw people to you, that draw people into relationship with you, so that it opens a door for you to influence them for Christ. When we are meek, we reflect the character of Christ, and people are drawn to that. Well, what about this inheriting the earth? Inheriting the earth. Well, really what this means is the reward starts now. The reward starts now. It doesn't start in the sweet by and by. The reward for meekness starts right now. And remember, this promise originated in Psalm 37:11. And understand this beatitude, you must understand Israel's history. Land has been an issue in salvation history since the Garden of Eden. Since the Garden of Eden, if you're very familiar with the Bible, and you may not be, but really the story of the Bible is a story of land. I mean, and it all started with the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they were thrown out of the garden. I like the story of Adam was walking by with his two sons one day, and the Garden of Eden was blocked off, and angels were guarding it. And Adam looked at the garden. He said, "You know, that used to be our where we lived until your mom ate us out of house and home." And so, I mean, land has always been an issue. God has a plan and a purpose for this world. God has a plan and purpose for this world. The Bible speaks of a future reign of Christ. It speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. I don't understand all of that, but it is a part of God's plan. And the very promise of a future inheritance should give us joy and give us hope right now. You know, while there are steps that you can take and should take in the direction of meekness, such as submitting to the a work and ministry of the Holy Spirit and practicing the spiritual disciplines. I'm working on a series in the future on the spiritual disciplines and how they are so desperately needed today. With all of that, listen to this, you won't know when you're meek. You won't know when you're meek. You're not going to wake up some morning and say, wow, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. Wow, I become so very meek. Thank you, Lord, for making me so very, very humble before you. Will not know when you are meek. But listen, others will know that. And most of all, God's going to know that. Because God looks at the heart, and it's really a condition of the heart. It's not that we are trying to be meek. If we're trying to be meek, something is wrong. If we're trying to appear meek, something is wrong. This is really a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes out of a life of submission and surrender to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. When all is said and done, meekness is a sure sign that God somehow managed to get in. He somehow managed to get in, not just to save you, but God managed to really penetrate deeply into your heart and into your life. Meekness is something that is desperately needed today in our world and in the body of Christ. And as believers, we should be the ones leading the way. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for the power of your word and these powerful statements made by none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Our pursuit is not of meekness, our pursuit is of you. Our pursuit is of you. Our pursuit is a pursuit that involves submitting and surrendering to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our pursuit is to give ourselves to the spiritual disciplines of the Word and prayer and other spiritual disciplines. And Lord, as we pursue you and submit to you, Lord, you begin to work this meekness and this gentleness into our lives.